2 years ago, they weren't in the race. They weren't even in the stands. They weren't paying attention to this. They were changing the name of the company to Meta because of the metaverse. Now Meta means search engine for AI. He literally took the brand Meta and said, like, you know what?
Meta.ai.
It's Meta AI. I meant it all along. Like literally, he guy fell on his face, got barbecued by everybody. Everybody said he's distracted and he's like got this stupid idea with the metaverse that nobody cares about. And he just turns this entire
judo move.
This is a judo move. He redirected the energy. And I think the MMA stuff got him reinvigorated as an entrepreneur. He just took the battleship and turned it around. Congratulations to the team over there, because
you cannot fuck around with a guy that wears a chain on the outside of his shirt.
I'm going to tell you, this could be the most important news story of the year.
This Week in Startups is brought to you by OpenPhone. Create business phone numbers for you and your team that work through an app on your smartphone or desktop. Wist listeners can get an extra 20% off any plan for your first 6 months at openphone.com/twist. Eppo, experimentation is how generation-defining companies win. Accelerate your experimentation velocity with Eppo. Visit geteppo.com/twist. And Hidden Layer. Generative AI is revolutionizing industries. Hidden Layer's AI detection and response solution secures your generative AI and LLMs from malicious attack, helping you generate more by enabling seamless and secure generative AI. Visit hiddenlayer.com/twist to learn more.
All right, everybody, welcome back to This Week in Startups. And with me, after pulling an all-nighter, my guy, Sunny Sandeep Madra. How are you doing, brother?
Big day.
Big day.
Llama 3. There's a lot to talk about.
Lots to talk about. AI never sleeps. Just like you, Sunny, now that you are trying to get all of these new LLMs up and running on the Grok infrastructure. Everybody knows Definitive Intelligence, your company was bought by Grok. Yep. And now you are working with developers. And big news dropped this week from Facebook. Their open source model, which is called Llama, released version 3. Explain to people why this is important and what it is.
The best way to explain its importance, I'm going to pull up a chart from the, and you know, we've used this before, is that it is a new model they trained. They open sourced it. But as people got their hands on it over the last 24 hours, that this open source model, 70 billion parameters.
Okay.
It's almost as good, just a little bit behind GPT-4, but better than Claude 3, which was at the top, better than Gemini Pro, better than Claude Sonnet, better than Command R, better than the original GPT-4.
Wow. So here we go. The race is on.
Yes.
This is big news, big news. An open source model has arrived that's in essentially the top two models in the world.
And it's more than an order of magnitude smaller. Mm. So not
explain
only has-
explain smaller in this context, right? A lot of folks are new to AI.
Yeah, for sure.
We're talking about parameters. We're talking about the versions of these models. We're talking about the context window. Let's do the audience a favor and just explain these from first principles. When you say size, do you mean the size of the software, the size of the package of the model? What does size mean in this context?
So I'm gonna use an analogy that I think makes it simpler for folks to understand, and then we can double click if you need to. The way to think about number of parameters is neurons.
Okay.
And the way to think about neurons is like in animals. The more neurons, the smarter the animal.
Got it. Right? Like an octopus or a human or a dolphin or a whale. All those delicious sentient creatures that we eat. That's a shout out to this week's All In, which you haven't seen yet. Oh, but we had a little bit of a touchy moment on our shared love of octopus, which octopi have a lot of neurons. Okay, so neurons. When we say neurons,
think of parameters.
Parameters and neurons. Got it.
And the more parameters we have, the more neurons the model has, the smarter it can theoretically be.
Got it.
And so the general thinking has been, we're going to create bigger and bigger models, by bigger being more and more parameters. And the more parameters you have, the more training data you have to give it. And it's usually like several orders of magnitude but let's just say one for simplicity. So if you have a 1 billion parameter model, you need to kind of give it 10 billion pieces of data, right? Okay. So if you have a trillion parameter model, you have to give it 10 trillion and et cetera, et cetera. What Facebook did, Meta did, they really changed things up. So one of their, you know, I guess moats is they have a lot of data. They have all the world's data.
Yeah.
They took a smaller model and kept giving it more and more and more data. And what they've been able to show, and what's really interesting is Zuck in an interview yesterday said they stopped training this model. It was still getting better and better. They needed to reallocate the GPUs to train Llama 4. Mm. So they're like, we were blown away and it was getting better and better and better. So it's the same model architecture, just given more and more data.
Where do they get their data from? Have they been clear about this? Because it's an open source model.
Yes.
That means the code to build the software is open source. You can go see that code. But the open source itself. Data
yes.
is different. So right. tell us what can we understand about the data in the model, if at all anything?
That's not as clear,
mm-hmm.
right? Yep. But, you know, if you watch the interviews, one of the things that he said is they trained it with a lot more code. And look, one of the things that they have a lot of code. They've been running one of the world's largest services or several of the world's largest services for years. They have tons of code. And so they have every right to take that code and feed it
sure.
into things if they want to, right? They may have rights on, you know, I don't really know what Facebook's rights are on your or I's data, but I'm sure somewhere along
the- I think they can use your data to train their model. Yeah. You can be certain their terms of service has that basic right.
Yeah, or they changed it recently or, you know, within the last couple of years to do it.
So you had to spend all night getting this up and running.
Yeah, all day.
On the Grok, all day. Got it.
Yeah.
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 So this drops onto GitHub or Hugging Face. And then just, you know, explain to the world here listening how that winds up being deployed on the Grok infrastructure.
Yeah. So for us, like, so these models are trained on NVIDIA hardware. And when you're training a model, you're doing, and I'm going to do an oversimplification, you're doing a forward pass, which is like running the model, and then you're doing like a back propagation. And so you're in training them, you're running the models all the time.
Yeah.
So once the model is done, you can run it on NVIDIA hardware, and so others can get it up and running. We obviously have our own custom hardware, so we have to take that model and we run it through, you know, part of our secret sauce is our compiler, and we run it through that compiler, and then that compiler takes that model and basically runs it on the configuration of chips that we've given it.
Got it.
There's two models that we're running in the last 24 hours. One is the smaller one, which is Llama 3 8 billion. What's interesting is Llama 3 8 billion has the performance of Llama 2 70 billion. So it's got 10 times less parameters, but it has the same performance as one before.
Fascinating.
And then they
Why is that?
Well, I think it comes back to, and look, everyone is being blown away by this, right? That's, you know, I was showing some tweets and I'll pull those back up in a second here. What everyone is realizing here is that maybe you can take, you know, this sort of makes sense in biology. All of us humans have about the same number of neurons, right? You know, I don't think there's like a 50% difference, right?
Right.
If you give one human a lot more data, their output capability can be a lot more than another one.
Okay.
And so I think what we're learning here is that if you give more and more data to even a smaller model, the results that it can produce in these benchmarks are incredible. And I think that's the path. And, you know, Facebook, again, who's a lot different than any of the other companies because the core of their business has access to a huge amount of data, is proving that they can build world-class models without even making them. You know, GPT-4 is generally considered to be a 1.7 trillion parameter model. So if you think about that, that's more than 20 times larger than Llama 370B.
Juggling multiple devices and apps to run your business is a mess. Open Phone is here to make it simple by simplifying your business communications with one easy-to-use app. Open Phone has rethought every detail of what a modern business phone should be. And here's the magic. It works through a beautiful, elegant app on your phone, or you can just use it on your desktop, making it super easy to get a business phone number for your entire team. And you know how brilliant Open Phone is? My teams use it every single day. My sales team loves it. My ops team, they use it all day long. And here's the features that we love. You can create a shared phone number, like customer support, with multiple employees fielding all the calls and all the texts to that one number. At my investment firm Launch, we pride ourselves on replying to every single call or email instantly. And Open Phone is the number one rated business phone on G2 for customer satisfaction. So here's your call to action. Super easy. Open Phone is already affordable. Starts at just $13 a month. But Twist listeners get an extra 20% off any plan for the first 6 months at openphone.com/twist. And if you have existing numbers with other services, no problem. Open Phone is going to port them over. Easy peasy, lemon squeezy, no extra cost. Head over to openphone.com/twist to start your free trial and get 20% off. Okay, so you've got the model up and running, and I was looking at an interface. It looks like Meta is trying
Let's pull that up.
I think this is kind of important. If you go to meta.ai.
Yeah, I got it queued up here for us.
Okay, great. Because this is, I started playing with this myself today in between meetings.
Okay.
So this is just on a very cursory basis, and I just want to make one observation. When you pull up the Meta AI's landing page, it has a very unique style to it.
Okay.
It's a fun style with a number of different ways to ask questions, but you don't have to log in. So I just want to pause on that.
Okay.
Because not having to log in, there's another website where there's a search box and you can type something in. That one doesn't require it either. So you can continue without logging in, and it just asks you what age you are, because I think they've gotten a little trouble with age gating or whatever. And so they're trying to be thoughtful of that. You remember when Suk was pulled in front of Congress or the Senate or somebody to discuss these kind of issues. But you know, I tried asking it, who is Jason Calacanis? And it did a wonderful job of like pulling from, you know, my Wikipedia page or whatever, a really tight summary. Yep. And it did seem to me like they've built an interface that looks very reminiscent of the Google original search page.
I hadn't thought about it through that lens, because when I see all these chatbots, they all kind of are starting to merge for me. Yeah. But like, now that you're bringing it up, it does have those vibes of like sort of an early Google, very clean look search page.
Yes.
And you know, now we all use browsers, so I never even hit Google. We always just search out of our the URL.
And they told, I saw Zuck in some clip of the interview he gave with his new haircut. Yeah. People were mentioning the new haircut, I guess. I guess he's got a new stylist or something. So somehow that his new look and his approach is interesting that people are noting. But he said they're going to put this search box on the top of every app they own.
Yes.
Okay. I want to pause for a second there. This is a shot across the bow of Google. And there's two reasons. The first reason is that they are both a place where people start their journey on the internet, right? Okay. You're on your phone, you're open your browser right now. There's probably a tab open too, or an app open that's run by these two companies, whether it's YouTube, Google, Gmail, Facebook, Instagram, or WhatsApp. Okay. So they all, in other words, have massive distribution to billions of users. But there's never been a search engine to speak of, or a search function of the open web in any of these products by Meta. And now there is. And they're going to super distribute it. So if they can cut, if they can get 1, 2, 3, 4% of searches away from Google, part two is they have an ad network already. They already have advertisers. And the advantage that Google has always had is that in the box, you type your intent. Looking for a sushi restaurant, flying to Sydney. I'm going looking for a hotel in Dubai. There's a lot of purchase intent, right, in a search.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Facebook's
never. It's a window into the user's mind.
Exactly. At that moment in time. And you can connect it with an advertiser. Facebook has had to connect based on psychographics. You're a 53-year-old living in the Bay Area. You're married. You have three kids. You like to go skiing, your friends share pictures of you skiing. You also go to Mexico quite often, and we see a lot of sushi and, you know, oh, you seem to be, you know, commenting on photos and following accounts in Dubai. We have some psychographic on you to give you ads. Well, now Meta is going to have both direct intent and psychographics. This is going to create the greatest threat to Google's advertising dominance that's ever been created. And this is going to make Meta's stock and revenue go wild.
Ooh. The J trade is on. Is on, but are you going to lever the J trade?
I'm going to spread the trade. Am I going to short Google Meta?
Well, no, you can just lever it just by getting into call options, because that gives you some levers.
I mean, listen, it's Friday night when we're taping this, where, you know, the market is closed, so we can discuss this. We got a little window, you know, before this drops, but I think I might go into my Robinhood account and I might J trade. I might sell half my positions and put it into Meta. And now, listen, I bought Meta at $90. I don't know what it's trading at now. $400, $500?
It is trading $480.
Okay, I've already run this bad boy up 5X.
Okay.
I'm 5X, and I'm thinking that this could, you know, be explosive. And the fact that Zuckerberg is talking about this in a direct video is extraordinary. It reminds me of the impact YouTube had on Google. Google had, you know, a certain type of advertiser, you know, a direct marketing type advertiser, right? You kind of get like this little, I refer to it as the sniper shot.
Okay.
You weren't getting, you know, like an emotional advertiser, psychographic advertiser. You weren't going after moms or dads or teens or single people versus married people. You get the idea. When YouTube came along, now you started have the ability to show people video ads, which evoke emotion. It's like a whole different group of advertisers. And you combine those two things, you know, you see ads.
Was it net new or was it a shift? Did like people move budgets or did the budgets just increase?
This gave them access to a budget that they didn't have access to, which is some advertisers want to visually show their product. And so you take a car company, how many times have you seen car ads on YouTube? All the time. How many times do you see a movie trailer or a TV show ad?
All the time.
Why? Because, you know, if you show a car, a Volvo, you know, a Toyota, zipping along, you might buy it. And if you see, you know, Volvo is an interesting car in a search ad, it's not going to evoke any emotion, right? So you have this emotional connection, this visceral connection that comes from video. That really, really, I believe, was a key moment in the history of Google in terms of making a really great ad platform. So you had people who were marketers who now were able to spend two different ways. That's what's going to happen here. That's what's going to happen here with Facebook, you know?
And you're seeing it. It's like you've seen this movie.
I've seen this movie before, and I think this is going to be explosive. I don't think necessarily Google's the loser here. I think anybody else with advertising revenue in the world, newspapers, televisions, you know, magazines, content websites. I mean, I just think it's going to make them even more dominant.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but it always feels like that from the earliest days, Facebook has sort of had the best relationship with their advertisers.
And they've done pretty well. Yeah. Both of them. Yeah. Google had a very hands-off approach. They didn't really talk to you that much, but YouTube did. So, you know, those people who like to do video ads, that's like, let's go get a, you know, that's a Mad Men, you know, let's get a 3-martini lunch, let's go to Cannes, you know, that whole group. And so, you know, I think you're right. Facebook did have like a little bit more of that shake hands and, you know, go out for dinner kind of approach. And this is going to just get them the direct response people in a really amazing way.
Yeah. Wow.
This is a game changer. The J trade's on. I think I might just go in there and just literally sell everything I own in the J trade portfolio and just put it into, you know, Meta and Google. I'm doing these searches in real time while we're having a conversation. And let me just share my screen here because you've been to Dubai. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
So I'm supposed to be going in the next couple of weeks again.
Oh, okay. Well, maybe I'll have to jump on a plane with you because, you know, I love that. Here we go. Yeah. I could jump on the Grok. Gulfstream. No, Gulfstream yet.
Oh my God.
Oh, that would be so yummy. Okay, so look here. Here we go. Here are some of the best hotels in Dubai. Four Seasons Resort Dubai at Jumeirah Beach. We know that one. Yep. The Palm, the Ritz, one and only one Palm. Yep. We know that. Bulgari. We know, I mean, these are the best.
Yes.
And, you know, it gives citations. And, you know, if you click on those citations, one and two, it's dumping you to a Google search. Wait.
Oh, wow. I wonder if they're getting paid like the Apple arrangement. Isn't that interesting?
Are you tired of slow A/B testing? I'm sure you are. Do you have any trouble trusting your experiment results? I know I do sometimes. Well, get ready to 10x your experiment velocity with Eppo. That's E-P-P-O. Whether you're a scrappy startup, a tech giant, or anybody in between, their feature management platform will turn your risky launches into clear-cut experiments. Data teams, of course, love Eppo, and so will your product growth and machine learning teams. The executives are going to love it too, because they're going to love the results and the discipline that comes from defining really important product experiments and then executing on them really well, because it gives data teams better coordination and faster innovation. Online marketplace Inventa has cut down experiment time by 60%, and ClickUp, the project management company, has cut down analyst time by over 12 hours. And Eppo's cloud-based system is all about empowerment. You get instant access to your experiments from anywhere in the world, boosting flexibility and teamwork. And you get a system that grows with your needs, easily scaling up to handle more tests as your business grows. With Eppo, the daunting becomes doable. I love that. So your team can rely on the experiment results and make faster decisions. Here's your call to action. Experimentation is how generation-defining companies win. Accelerate your experimentation velocity with Eppo. Visit geteppo.com/twist. Just visit geteppo.com/twist. And let's get some experiments running. Let's get that product market fit. And thanks to Eppo for supporting independent media like This Week in Startups and all the startups who are listening. Well done. Looking at my screen here, look at this. When I hit sources, it's another Google one, and it says the two web pages where it took this information from. So that web page now at Forbes is going to get some traffic.
Okay.
This is interesting. Why is there a Google search down here? Does anybody know what's going on here? Is there a Google relationship we're unaware of? These are dogged competitors. So why would they link to a Google search, or are they using the results of the Google search to get this information? And then number two, when you click view sources and it just has these links here, it puts the Google logo next to them. Why?
So I can speculate. So basically, you know, all these modern answer engines that are being built, and, you know, we did a demo before as well. These modern answer engines, right, they need search results. And there's different services that have been created to do that. And so What has maybe happened here, you know, obviously Meta is not going to just go use one of those services. They're not going to scrape Google. So they maybe just went and did a direct deal, because what these engines need is the results to come back. And then the engines use their own reasoning capability to like, you know, read the results and then parse things out and then return it to you. That's a good answer, though. Kakari is incredible. Look at this. Okay. So this is on Search Engine Journal, which is actually, you know, a thing you're quite reliable. Exactly, for this particular thing, and say Meta integrates Google and Bing search results into the assistant.
Uh-huh.
And so that's what they're saying. Both are coming in and they're talking about that. And, you know, they're talking about the Zuck interview where he brought this up. Mm-hmm. And so really interesting now. And here's the examples of bringing Meta into all the applications.
Amazing.
Wow.
And so this is going to just change everything. You know, Zuckerberg is now coming in and he's looking to steal,
you know,
Google's Jake, cheese.
I gotta tell you, and I feel like you have one of these, and you definitely had one back in the day. But when you break that chain out,
that means you're going gangster. This is, I mean, Zuck is going into his you talking to me phase. You talking to me? I don't see anybody else here, so I think you must be talking to me. Zuck's hair is out of control.
Yep,
is no gel. Or maybe he's putting clay in it. I don't know what's going on, but the hair's on fleek. He's wearing a gold chain around his neck. I think he's hanging out with these UFC guys.
Yeah.
His testosterone's got to be off the charts. Maybe he's doing human growth hormone. I don't know what's going on here, but this is a level of aggressiveness that is even like for Zuck a little bit out there. But
Yeah.
This is a big deal, folks. This is like a weird, you know, weekend drop, Thursday, Friday drop. And if you're at Google right now, if I'm Sergey, if I'm Larry, if I'm Sundar, this is another war room moment. Now you've got Microsoft on one side with Bing, and you got Facebook on the other side. And they're both looking at that search money printing machine, and they're saying, yum, yum, this is our chance to steal it.
I saw this, and I had to bring it up, because I think it's like, it was good. Yeah. It was good. This is the three phases of Zuck. Obviously, early Zuck. This might have been like a CNN interview when he was probably, you know, just started.
He just made it to San Francisco. He just left Harvard.
This wasn't that long ago. This is the in front of Congress.
Yeah, well, he's been pulled up in front of Congress for the last 5 years. Yeah, so who knows which one that was. Is that the most recent one?
The most recent one.
Yeah,
he's obviously got someone did a little bit of touch up here and gave him.
I think they gave him a goatee there. I don't think he's rocking the beard.
No, he wasn't. But like everything else is pretty good. But this is pretty awesome.
It's pretty awesome. Because what they're saying is, this is this famous bell curve chart. So you have like the elite person all the way on the right of the bell curve. You got the average mid person. And then the left, you got like the more raw person. So usually the way this is presented is like there's a ninja hacker all the way on the right. There's like a low IQ, I don't want to say the term, but like mentally disabled person on the left. And in the middle is like everybody.
Yeah.
And what the point they kind of make is the people on either end of the spectrum are like the unique, interesting people in the world. And so here we go. I mean, kudos to Zuck, but the game is on now. And, you know, this is one of the interesting things about antitrust. By the time Lena Khan or, you know, the UK or EU, the EU or any federal agency starts to take apart a monopoly, the free market takes them apart. And the barbarians are at the gate. You got Microsoft coming in the front. And now you've got on the side, boom, another person coming in on the side.
Can I share one more thing from the interview that he did yesterday, or he did a couple, but the one with Dark Wesh, which he said something really interesting. Like, hey, how did you get on top of the GPUs? He's like, well, we needed the GPUs to basically compete with Reels. And we needed, in order to compete, or create Reels, sorry, that would compete with TikTok. And in order to pull... in order to create the algorithms, they had to go from algorithms that were built for, like, you know, for your own network to TikTok style algorithms, which is they have to find the most interesting thing in the entire network. And so they did a monster purchase in 2022. So it was really interesting. And then they ended up having all this compute, which they've been able to leverage and turn into all this wonderful stuff. It's really awesome. And, you know, what I'll say is the implication for the broader ecosystem. So once you look outside of that, and I'm just going to pull up another tweet. So we talked about what having, you know, more powerful models means. But if you really look at what's happened in the last 24 hours and why I left our poker game to come and get this launched is we are running Llama 3 at 300 tokens a second. Claude Opus, which has moved down on this list, runs at 18 tokens a second, and GPT-4 is 36. So if you're building something and they're all, you know, in the relatively same bucket of capability, you want the fastest one. So that's what we've been very excited about over the last 24 hours.
Okay. Yeah. And Reuters is reporting that Meta has struck some kind of a deal with Google to include those results. And so something's going on here where the results are being provided. And so we don't know the details of that deal, but it's definitely a big deal because they're going to, whoever gets that search result into their database is going to have a lot of power because you can connect that search forever to that person. So, you know, if you were to search for something like you're feeling sad and depressed now, you know, you're going to see depression, medicine ads, pharmaceutical ads till the cows come home. Because you did a search, you know, like how to feel less sad. Or if you're like, you know, you do an Ozempic search, I want to lose weight, whatever it is.
Yeah.
You know, whoever has the search, man, I mean, it's just such purchase intent. Yeah. And you combine that with what pictures you're sharing and what's in those pictures, it's going to be incredible. So we don't have the details of what's going on here yet.
So we have two grades to give out.
Two grades. Okay.
We're going to give out one grade on the model, Llama 3. And the second grade on meta.ai.
A and A plus. I'm going A and A plus. I mean, it's clear this model has broken in with an open source model into the top two.
Yes.
And if you want to say, hey, 1, 2, and 3, it could be wrong. It's a mistake. We need more time to figure it out. Even if it was in the top 5, the top 10 models have been proprietary models, closed source models to date, right?
Yeah.
So fact that it's even in the top 3 would be extraordinary, let alone, you know, number 1 or number 2. Okay. So that's an A. I'm not going to give an A+. You don't have enough information, but next week we could reserve the right to raise our grades.
Yep.
And then for this interface, the reason I'm giving it an A+ is not because the interface is there, but because the vision is there. And it's not just the gold chain and the crazy hair and the fact that he's doing the product discussions himself. It's that he said in the product discussions that he's putting this at the top of every app and there's going to be a search box and he's going to super distribute it. That means he has made this a priority.
War room micromanager. Like,
yes,
this is my company. I'm going to win.
Listen, we all know generative AI is revolutionizing every industry. In fact, we talk about it here on this podcast every week. And companies that are slow to leverage this technology, well, they're going to risk falling behind their competition. But new innovations also bring new threats. How do you safely accelerate your company's Gen AI adoption while also managing the risk? Well, let me tell you about Hidden Layer's AI detection and response platform. It's a security solution specifically designed for generative AI and large language models, LLMs, you know that. It provides your security team with visibility and tools necessary to detect and prevent threats like leaking of confidential information. We've seen that a couple of times, as well as malicious prompt injection. That's a serious threat. And model theft, right? People are starting to steal. That's just the truth of it, folks. People will steal your innovations. That's going to enable your company to harness the power of AI and to do that securely and confidently. It's trusted by leaders in finance, tech, healthcare, and even the U.S. Department of Defense, the DOD. Hidden Layer helps you generate more by enabling seamless and secure generative AI. So here's your CTA, the old call to action. With Hidden Layer, go from pause to possibilities and step into the future of secure AI innovation. Learn how to protect your generative AI today by visiting hiddenlayer.com/twist. That's hiddenlayer.com/TWIST. You know that vibe, right? Somebody's here. He's not asking anybody in the company what they're going to do. He's telling them, put the search box at the top. We can discuss everybody's feelings about that, but we're doing it. And I tell you what, have a good time discussing it. I'm out. I got an MA. I got to get to Vegas to go see UFC 301 or whatever the hell it was that he was at. So this is, that's why I give it an A+. If I was just judging the interface based on the searches I did, I'd give it a B or a B+. But I think because the vision is there and, I have one more thing to add. He created a look and feel and a specific domain name. And you can tell how committed people are on if they give something a specific name and brand and let it stand on its own.
Yeah.
He's telling people, go to meta.ai. And I'll give you another reason this is really important. He didn't say you have to log in. He's like, you know what?
Yes.
I know this is going to cost me money. Every time somebody searches, I know I'm going to be hitting the server farm. I don't care. This is the investment I want to make. I don't know how much he's losing on these server farms, but you know, he was willing to lose $10, $20 billion a year on silly goggles.
He said 100. He said,
I know, but I'm talking about the goggles, though. Remember, he was losing $10-20 million a year on the goggles nobody was using? $10-20 billion on goggles.
Yeah.
I mean, if he gets but 10% of search, it's going to change the entire industry. And so you give it a domain name, you give it a look and feel.
Yeah.
You tell it's going to be super distributed. We're putting this on every single app.
Yeah.
I mean, it tells you everything you need to know. He's going for it.
And it's strong. Like, you know, everyone was kind of like, oh, Meta, now meta.ai. You're like, I could go there and I could search. I would use it.
And you know who doesn't do this? Google. Remember Google Plus? Where did Google Plus exist?
Bard.
Google Bard. They never did bard.com. Google Plus should have just done plus.com.
Yeah.
They never made its own look and feel. Google Plus, they were like, we're going to put it up in the little carry in the top right.
Like it was hard to get to even, right?
It was up in the top right hand of your navigation. Yeah. It just showed that they were not committed to it as a standalone long-term brand. Whereas with YouTube, they were like, it's going to have its own office space. It's going to have its own logo. It's going to have its own vibes. It's going to have a creative space in San Francisco, San Bruno, and then a creative space in LA. This is how you know when the CEO is committed is, do they put it in its own building? Do they give it its own brand? This is, I'm going to tell you, this could be the most important news story of the year.
Wow.
I think this might be the news story of the year for our industry.
Yeah. I am the other way around. I'm A plus on the model.
Oh, okay.
And I'm A on the AI integrations.
Okay. Say more.
Well, the model, look, putting that out in the open and giving it to the community and giving them a challenge. And he also said this, right? Was, I want the community to take it. I want them to make it better. I want them to make it run faster. I want them to make it run cheaper. And he goes, even if from the community does something and it's 10% better, we're going to spend $100 billion on this stuff. That's a $10 billion saving for us. He also said, it's important that no one company owns the greatest technology ever invented. And so that's a really, really strong move in this world where most companies are trying to create closed AI and not just, you know, closed AI.
Right? Yeah.
No, I mean, but a bunch of others.
Yeah. I mean, Claude's closed.
Yep.
You know what's interesting also about that? I think when you're behind and you've got like a giant business,
yes,
you're totally fine when you're behind being open source because it helps you catch up. So yep. Where was Meta a year ago? Or let's say 2 years ago. Where was Meta 2 years ago in the AI race?
No, 2 years ago, they were just buying the GPUs to try to compete with TikTok.
Exactly. They were not in the race. They literally didn't have their they didn't have their running shoes on yet.
Yeah.
A year ago,
they launched Llama. They launched Llama.
So a year ago, they're in the race. And if there's 10 people in the race,
but
they were in ninth or 10th place.
Yeah.
Trailing the pack. And now you're telling me, and I trust your judgment, Sandeep.
Yeah.
You're telling me they're neck and neck at the front of the pack.
Well, it's not just my judgment. I'm just sharing what the standard industry benchmarks are saying right here. Like, they are tied for two.
Yeah, exactly. So let's just pause again and recap what we've learned. 2 years ago, they weren't in the race. They weren't even in the stands. They weren't paying attention to this. They were trying to, they were changing the name of the company to Meta because of the metaverse. Now Meta means search engine for AI. He literally took the brand Meta and he's like, you know what?
Meta.ai.
It's Meta AI. I meant it all along. Like literally, he guy fell on his face, got barbecued by everybody. Everybody said he's distracted and he's like got this stupid idea with the metaverse that nobody cares about. And he just turns this entire
judo move.
I think this is a judo move. He redirected the energy, and I think the MMA stuff is got him reinvigorated as an entrepreneur. He just took the battleship and turned it around. Congratulations to the team over there, because
you cannot fuck around with a guy that wears a chain on the outside of his shirt.
I mean,
Jake, you might have to break one.
I'm breaking it out. I got it right here in the draw. I'm breaking it out. The point is,
I see
this chain is indicative of where he's at, which is, you talking to me, Zuck. This is just incredible. It's incredible. Like I said, if he can get 1 or 2 or 3 percentage points of search, there's no reason he can't beat Bing at search. So now you got to be Microsoft going, oh man, this lunatic. But open source allows you to catch up quick. And then he can take this high road position like Elon has taken, which is, hey, participate in my ecosystem. Don't use their software.
Yes.
And you know what? He would never, he specifically turned off the app ecosystem inside of Facebook, remember? He screwed every developer who ever, every partner who ever worked with him, he screwed. Yep. From his personal partners in the business to advertisers, to people building pages and content providers, app providers, and his own co-founders, he screwed everybody. Now he's going, you know what? Let's build together. Smart move. I don't know if I trust them, but we'll see.
I mean, look, I think there is so much going to happen. I'm going to put another prediction out there, J-Cal.
Here we go. Okay.
In the next 60 days, this is really going to shake up. I mean, if you're any of these other companies, right, you're really sitting there saying there is a open source free model that's available. The only people that really can't use it are like other internet companies, right? Their license limits you if you have.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I think the license says something like if you have something more than like 100 million active users, you can't use this, which it's just targeted at like Snapchat and TikTok or, you know.
Really? That's interesting. Then how can it be open source then? I guess it's, I've never heard of an open source license.
Because open source have different licenses, right?
But have you ever heard of a license based on the number of users? That's the first time I've ever heard of that. I've heard of licenses like you have to contribute back.
Yeah.
You have to give credit, link back. So anyway, this is, I think somebody's got to get in there and read that license bullet by bullet point. Because this does matter. And if you're going to build on somebody else's system, you really do want to understand that. But yeah, I agree with you. This is, it's another one of these like earth-shattering moments.
I'm just going to pull this up, Jacob, because this license is actually pretty simple and clean. I want to give them credit for it. Okay. So obviously, here's a license, plain English license. Obviously, there's an agreement. There's a licensee, that's you, MetaLlama, materials.
Yeah, and then defining the parties.
Exactly. They grant you a right, redistribution. Here's the only thing that you need to understand. Additional commercial term. I'm just going to read this for the folks that are listening. If on the Meta 3 Llama version release date, the monthly active users of the products or services made available by or for the licensee or licensee's affiliates is greater than 700 million active users, then you must request a license from Meta, and Meta may grant it to you at their discretion. So, this is very specifically targeted at like two or three companies, because this doesn't affect anyone else. It doesn't affect the corporate, like an enterprise. It doesn't affect anyone else.
Yeah. I mean, it's rarefied air to get to that number. They're probably including, I think Reddit probably breaks that number of monthly active views. I think Reddit might be right there. I wonder if that's a Reddit
700
clause.
Million?
Twitter's at monthly. We're doing monthly active users. We got to get the monthly active users.
Twitter's in like I think 100 or 250 or like that kind of range.
Yeah, top monthly active users 2024 internet.
Yeah, 700 million is a big number. I mean, it's like a
top internet services by MAU.
I'm just gonna ask Meta.
Yeah, ask Meta. That's it. Ask Meta AI.
Right here.
Okay, Facebook 3 billion. WhatsApp 2.78.
2.5,
yeah,
Instagram,
that.
2 billion, WeChat, TikTok, Telegram, then you fall way off. There you go.
But look who's at 750. Snapchat, you're right. It is a Snapchat rule. This is a Snapchat rule. Exactly.
Or TikTok, and TikTok right here.
Yeah, I don't think TikTok's got their own jam. I don't think they need them. Monthly MAUs, Reddit, 2024. Let's see what Reddit has.
Dude, this is so good. Like, I'm just using it here.
I'm such an idiot. I'm like literally using a Google search and we're talking about this replacing Google. This is why habits take a time.
I know.
Monthly active users for Reddit and Twitter.
Oh, interesting. It said 1.2. Wow, that's interesting.
Yeah, I think because of all the SEO traffic they get.
Yeah, okay.
Reddit had, I'm getting a different answer. I'm getting 400 million in 2022.
Okay.
Well, that's Twitter had 440. Reddit had 430 in 2020. Yeah. Okay. So anyway, it's, I think probably Twitter and Reddit are bouncing up against this, and obviously Snapchat's over it. That's a very interesting clause. That's the first time I've ever seen it.
That's been around from the earliest licenses. So that's not a new thing.
Hmm. But you could still look at their code base and be inspired by it.
Look at this. Look at this. Twitter, 550.
Yeah, it's growing. Yeah. All right. Well, there you have it, folks. Is there anything else we want to demo or talk about when it comes to this crazy Meta moment?
I'll just do like one more kind of fun demo just for the sake of it, because it's really fast and it's super exciting. So one of the things that they've done is made it so that it can code incredibly well. I'm going to pull up an example here. Give me a second. So we were trying this last year in you. All right. A snake HTML and you can see see how fast that is.
Yeah.
And so basically it gives you two files right here's, you know, the script and the index.html. and if you bear with me for 1 second, I'm just going to pull that up. I'm going to save those and I'm going to pull them up, and you're going to get a You're going to get a good kick out of this one. This is where the internet has come to. So I just saved those two files. Okay, you can see this. I got a snake game.
Yeah, you made the snake game. Yeah.
Yeah.
Perfect.
But I made it in like 3 seconds.
Incredible. Yeah. Somewhere Atari 80-year-old Atari engineers are banging their heads on the wall.
Yeah.
this represents like their careers. Like literally that was represents like Woz's like 5 years of Steve Wozniak's life. And it's like Nolan Bushnell just jumped off a roof. Yeah. He's like, what? I mean, this does also, I think, lead us to the discussion we've had many times, which is an organization as big as Facebook with as many developers as it has, using co-pilots and building AI at the same time is like the snake eating its tail. They are, because they're building the LLM, that's going to help them be better coders. They're going to use that LLM to write better LLMs in code. And so this is when we talk about the pace increasing and people talk about, we're going to reach AGI, artificial general intelligence, faster than people think. When you see, I think this is another proof point or evidence that the velocity is increasing. When you see new entrants take the number one or number two slot or the number three slot, and it starts changing like this, what's happening is, you know, these models and these tools are making the people build the tools and the models better every day, every week, every month. Mm-hmm. You must be seeing that up close and personal as well. Maybe you could talk about what's happening in the developer community in terms of people getting better at building product.
Yeah. So there's an interesting framework here that I'm going to share with you that I think you should think about for your cohorts of companies. When humanity went through the Industrial Revolution, I'm going to use two examples. We went from bespoke car making, which means like a team would make like one car a day, to like a factory where you got 1,000 a day. And you went from like farming for maybe your family and your village at most to like industrial farms. You can feed entire states and or countries.
Yes.
Right. So that's like the industrial, you know, revolution impacting our society. We really haven't seen this in technology, because if you have a designer on staff and that designer you ask to create a mock-up for you, right? Or if you have an engineer on staff, you ask the engineer to build something for you. What we now have is the Industrial Revolution for those folks, because I can now have 1,000 images generated in just a few minutes.
Yeah.
Right. Or I can have 50 code games generated. And one of the things that Zuck did talk about also, so that's like the first thing. The second thing is you can now use these models going, feed them, create data to feed themselves to get even better. That moment is here for us now. And so the folks that are using these tools are starting to accelerate and go faster and faster and faster. And my guess is that more so than anyone else, they've really cracked that. And they've really figured out how to put AI itself in their loop of driving AI forward.
Part of the Industrial Revolution was, you know, there were different machines. And to your point, we did have this happen in the information industry. It was called the printing press. Now, if you wanted to have knowledge, you had a priest, a monk, sit there, and they would take a book, and then they would take some parchment, and they would write a copy of the book. They would dry it, and then a month later, they would have rewritten some text, and then they would sell it to some prince or king, and they would put it in their library. And then a printing press happened, and they would make a metal template of that book.
Said knowledge or book.
And they would set, you know, the knowledge there, and then they would press a button and it would stamp the paper and cut it and put it into a book. And then all of a sudden, everybody could have that book, the printing press, right? The printing press changed the world. And then you also had that happen with looms and building of clothing, where you remember these looms that people started using to make clothes. And all of a sudden, somebody would be making a sweater and it would take them a week. And now it would take them a day. And then a machine eventually wound up doing it in minutes. And so that is, I think, a good way to look at it. If an app took a person, if building an app as a developer and a designer was the equivalent of that monk rewriting the book, and it took them a month, or let's say it took them 3 months to rewrite the Bible. Okay. Now they could make 100 Bibles in a day. Could you make 100 apps in a day with one developer? And the answer is yes.
Yes.
Yes, it's coming.
It's
here. Wild. It's here, but it's not polished enough. And the answers aren't correct. And this is part of why the Hume AI pin, I don't know if you saw Marquez, you know, yes, barbecued and said it's the worst product ever. Marquez said it's the worst product he ever reviewed. But did you watch the actual review?
I haven't seen it yet. Okay. I watched those with my son, so we're going to watch it tonight. So,
anyway, you watch it, what you'll find is it's a love letter to the hardware device. He's incredible about, you know, the build quality and how unique it is. There are some issues with battery life being short and it's a little bit heavy and it gets hot, you know, things you could normally see. And but the problem he has with it is the price of it, the fact that it's not as good as his phone, and it takes 12 seconds for the LLM to give him the wrong answer. So all the hardware he thinks is incredible, but the LLM is wrong. And so we just need to make sure the answers coming out of these LLMs are correct because, you know, people were like, oh, he's beating up on these things. Well, the truth is we haven't been as critical of these LLMs and the answers they're giving.
But Jacob, we just saw how they're getting better. They're not using their training data. In those two examples, it went out to the internet.
Yes.
And then it reasoned over the answers.
Yes.
That's the future, J-Cal. You don't want it to recall from its training data.
Yeah.
That's when you're subject to hallucinations. Yes. But if you tell it just the same way you or I would, hey, go and get this information, parse it for me and give it back to me in a table. That's what it just did there on those results.
Yes. And it was much better.
Yes.
And it has a citation. Now, since it's giving a citation, that leads to our ongoing discussion about rights. If you give citations, and I think when we started doing these, weekly AI discussions, I said, if you give citations and you link back, I have a lot less problem with this and then I don't know if you saw the Adam Schiff
we talked about it a little bit, right?
How they were, agreement that you just have to tell it what you trained it on. I think Zuck realizes that that's how this will shake out. And he's like, you know what? I'm just going to link to the pages that Google has in the top results. Zip, zip, zip.
I did a deal with those guys.
I'll do a deal with you. And if you don't want to be in the index, just put norobots.txt and we'll exclude you from these results.
Yeah.
But man, this is disruptive. This is disruptive. Another crazy week. Congratulations, Sandeep, on getting this going. If you want to go to console.grok.com, is that the right place for people to go to start playing?
That's the way they can go. They can go to grok.com and just play with it, but you go to console to get a key and start building your own stuff, which is what we want you to do.
And he's Sandeep on the X platform, x.com/Sandeep. He's super active. Get in the replies there. Say hi to him. Tell him you watch the show. Have a great weekend, everybody. The world is moving at the world is moving at ever-increasing velocity. And the way you're going to get through that is to be a part of these discussions we have here every week. Tell your friends about This Week in Startups. Search on YouTube for This Week in Startups. Hit subscribe, hit the bell. Make sure you don't miss an episode so you can stay informed and so you can figure this all out with us. Sunny, any thing people should know about in terms of, I don't know if you have a startup program or a way for people to learn more. We gave them the URL, but is there a startup program there at Grok yet? Or
we do. Just hit me up. We'll sort you out.
Okay. Let's just make you should make a URL /twist. I'll give you a free.
Let's do it.
If you make grok.com/twist.
That's twist. Yeah.
Yeah. For my advertisers here, since you do the show and you put so much work into it, give you the free ad. You send people to that. It'll be the This Week in Startups deal. Offer people like some deal and, you know, webinars or whatever.
We'll
gift back to you and the Grok team is grok.com/twist. Is it G-R-O-Q or K?
G-R-O-Q.
Yeah, you're GROQ. You sure you're GROQ? Yeah, you're the Q.
We have that trademark.
You have the GROQ.com. I know that this is a little contentious. GROQ.com/twist, T-W-I-S-T. At some point, we'll have a twist landing page with some offers. Sunny, thanks for sharing your knowledge. We'll see you all next time. Bye-bye.